Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, the podcast where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Narrow Road Between Desires page by page, and then we talk about it. This is page 162. Eventually, he heard a whistle from the trees. He got to his feet and stretched, his body bending like a bow. Then he sprinted down the hill, except in the fading light, it didn't quite look like a sprint. If he were a boy of 10, it would have looked like skipping, but he was no boy. If he were a goat, it would have looked like he were prancing, but he was no goat. If a man headed down the hill that quickly, it would have looked like he were running. Fast looked not quite like any of these, but in the fading light, there was him in some odd combination of the three. In this way, Bass came to the edge of a clearing where Reich stood in the growing dark beneath the trees. "I've got it," the boy said triumphantly, held up his hand, but the needle was invisible in the fading light. "Borrowed?" Bass asked, "not traded or taken?" Reich nodded earnestly. "Okay," Bass said. "Let's see the stone as well." Reich dug into his pocket and held it out. Bast didn't take it, but made a show of looking it over, nodding seriously. He even went so far as to have the boy turn it over so he could scrutinize the other side while he rubbed his chin. "Yes," Bast said at last, as if coming to a hard decision. "Yes. Very good. This will do." That's the page. I'm Joy.
I'm Patrick.
I'm John. I'm RJ.
It's an extra chunky episode. Four of us today.
Delicious. The salsa of dreams.
I was thinking we were peanut butter.
Ooh.
Maybe peanut butter is the salsa of dreams.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's dreams. It can be anything.
They're very separate. Well, oh God. Yeah, they're separate things, and I think it's good to keep them separate.
Fair.
I'm about to spam the chat with peanut salsa recipes.
Ooh, peanut salsa. Wow, okay. All right, but no, this is a cool little paragraph about how Bass does not quite look like a boy or a goat or a man. I kind of like that a lot.
Skipping, prancing, and running combined.
Grancing.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely highlighting the fact that he doesn't have human legs.
Right. Captain Bast.
I think we get some confirmation on the bottom with the show Bass makes of looking at the stone just to make a big show out of looking at it and having him turn it over. Just maybe this was just something for Reich to go do. Bass is just kind of playing along.
Well, maybe. I mean,
yeah, that's what I kind of took it at. I took my stance a few pages ago that was this whole charm actually does nothing and it's all just for show. And I'm going to stick to that here. It's just like, I'm going to look at it closely, examine what you brought. Oh, yeah, yeah. See, this is just busy work for you to keep you away out of my hair all day.
Mm-hmm.
While go take care of your dad and stuff. What was that?
I didn't realize until becoming a podcaster that I'm actually a fence sitter like Jordana. However, just for the purposes of this episode, I would like to play Bass Advocate and say potentially maybe the charm is effective and he's scrutinizing it.
You think he's actually scrutinizing it?
Do I think that? No. Do I think that the charm might be doing something? Maybe. But
it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's possible.
You just want to leave space for it.
Yeah, I kind of like the mystery
But yeah, like there's definitely an ambiguity to it though, right? Because like we kind of, because we've read the Lightning Tree and the clues that we've gotten so far, we kind of already know what Bast has already accomplished at this point. Or like we can infer that a lot of what is necessary to like arrange it so that Jessam needs to leave and never come back has already been accomplished.
Right. But does that mean the charm might actually be for something else entirely? So
yeah, maybe. We just don't know yet.
So anyway, I just want to leave the space that it could be, or you know,
right, because it's not like a deconstruction of like magic per se. Like there is magic in this world, and there very much is grammary and glamoury, and we know that's true. And so like it's just kind of a little bit of a mystery to us the extent to which that's actually happening here, or is Bast just kind of like conniving some plans and it's all quite mundane.
Right.
Anyway,
I'm very entertained by Pat having a strong opinion, and I just want to like say the opposite thing just to so that way both sides are represented.
Sure.
I mean, I just think it's really possible that Bast is using this charm to make Reich, you know, outgrow his self-loathing, or you know, not grow up and be abusive, or you know, whatever. To be, well, you know.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a little bit more of that as we go on, because there's definitely another whole bit about that in the Lightning Tree, at least.
Yeah.
I kind of hope that part is in this book, because it's a part that I really love in Lightning Tree.
And I do think that's going to come up, and I'm also going to point to the chapter title here as another bit of evidence for my saying that this is just the equivalent of what Quoth gives to Nelly and Traben. It's just like, oh yeah, this will totally keep you safe.
I like that.
I mean, the chapter title is lies. Come on. He's just straight up lying. This was all busy work to keep him away all day. I don't think it's okay, altruistic as to like, simple... oh, keep him from being abusive or whatever. I don't think that's altruistic. I think it's literally just like, oh, get out of my hair for a while, do some things.
But I was going to say...
It's the rule. You have to at least attempt it.
I was going to say a simple city joy, so I don't know. Okay.
Then you have to do a New York accent.
I don't think I can do that either.
How long have you lived in New York and you can't do a New York accent? Get out of here. What's the matter with you?
A really long time, actually. But, you know, obviously the lies is that he's lying on a rock.
Ah, there you go. She's got you there, Pat. She's got you there.
He's lying supine on a rock. Okay, that's all. I'm done. My actual opinion is, you know, not so cut and dry, but it's good to have an argument.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it is.
RJ, whose side are you on?
Side? Yes! I'm on no one's side, because nobody's on my side, Master Meridoc.
Perfect. That's exactly as it should have been. Okay.
As it should have been.
We can't do anything better than that for this episode, so we're going to call it, and we'll probably have more Lord of the Rings references on tomorrow's Narrow Page.
I always like going south. Somehow.
All right, that hurts my voice.
It feels like walking downhill.
Thank you, John. Paige.